There's more than everybody. There's more. So you can see, there's our scriptures, and we'll start turning to, I want to thank you. Thank you for having me today. Because I love that here. I do. All thanks. You know, it might look like everything is calm on top and cool and collected, but it's like a duck, you know, you can see it moving under the water. And if you can feel what I feel, my heart racing like right now, I feel like I'm about 4 cups of coffee in. And I woke up just wound up like an 8-day clock. So I promise you, this is about an hour and a half message, but we'll get another one in about 15. So as our old pastor said, you know, my messages aren't long, I'll just listen slow. So thank you for having me. So we're gonna pick up this week kind of right where last week left off. I wasn't even here. But I know where last week was. See, I got inside track. I know he preached in Revelation, we ain't going there. But we're gonna pick up right where we left off last week, and that's the cross. That's a pretty important place to be, okay? That's where we left Jesus when we thought he was dead and gone. That's where the Pharisees and all hung him one day. They thought that's where he was staying. That would be the end of it, but that's not the case. That wasn't the end. That was just the beginning. See, they hoped that was the end of the Jesus. So they didn't have to deal with him anymore. No. That's not where this story ends. That's where it just begins. You see, Jesus did exactly what he knew he had to do. And be what he said he was going to be. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to put my glasses on. Don't laugh at me, okay? Don't laugh at me. I'm almost like, y'all remember Fred Sanford? Y'all remember this one? I got glasses in every drawer. I call those very glasses. Oh, wait, my glasses in the drawer. And I did. Jesus rises from the dead. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow, and the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Well, he's not here. He is risen just as he has said." And they said, "Come and see. This is the place where he lay." "Then go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him again." And the angel said, "Now I told you. Watch out." So we're going to skip a little farther down to verse 16. Jesus gives the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples, we forgot one. Go back to chapter 8, to verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus said to them, "Greetings." You know, he has a habit of doing that. I was thinking about that this morning. Can you imagine? You just watched him hang on the cross. You watched him die, and he pops up. Hey, I want to say, like, "What's up? What's up, y'all? Didn't I tell you? That's what I would say. But greetings is probably more biblical. "Greetings," he said. So they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "Hey, do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers in Galilee that there they will see me." Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to him and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, for this day, for the opportunity to just sit here and just worship you, because that's what this is. Lord, I pray that you would help to make everything we do today, tomorrow, the next day, just another act of worship for you. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that you give us. I thank you for being here. I thank you for these wonderful people. Lord, I just pray that you would open their ears and their hearts to hear your word. I love you. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So I got a question for you to start off the message, all right? This has been running up on my desk for 3 months. And the question is, one of my last teachers from my last class asked me, "So Gary, what's your mission statement?" I'm like, "Well, blah, blah, blah." He said, "What's your mission statement?" I was like, "Oh, you mean of our church?" I was like, "No." He said, "No, it's yours. What is your mission? What are you here to do? What's God telling you to do? Because if you don't have a mission statement, if you don't have a direction, you're just going to wander. You're just going to float around." And I'm thinking back like, "Well, I don't like that. I'm a floater. You know what I mean? I like that." You float for 4 years and never get anything accomplished. What is your mission statement? I said, "Well, I'll pray about it." I said, "Okay." So my question that I want you to think of, and I want you to be rattling around in the back of your head, you don't have to answer today, but ask God, "What is my mission statement? What is it that you have me do, Lord?" And I'm not talking about the Union Baptist mission statement, if you even have one. We all have a mission to do. And we just read it. It's called the Great Commission. We all have a mission to go out and make disciples, baptizing and teaching them the way. But I want you to go back and look at this word commission, okay? Because our mission, sometimes we take this as this overwhelming big thing that I have to go do. Okay, well, I can't stand up there in front of those people. I can't sing a song. I'm not doing that. Yeah, well, maybe that's not what your mission is. You know, God's giving you every single one of your gifts, talents, and abilities to do something with, okay? What are you using them for? So let's go back to the word commission. That tells us the same thing that Jesus just tells us. That is a co. That's two people between Jesus and us. Okay? Between Jesus and us. That's the post of the cross. Okay? Jesus and us. And us in the world. And that's what are on the cross. Okay? Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives it to us. From heaven to us. Then the word spread. Okay, that's your cross. See, it always comes back to the cross. And I want you to always remember that, because we can always go back to the cross. No matter where you are in your life, no matter how deep you are, however high you think you are, it always comes back to the cross. So we know that the Great Commission was just that. It was telling us to go and make disciples. So let me tell you what a disciple is. A disciple is one who accepts and assists in the spreading of the doctrines of another. Okay, that's definition A from merely myself. Definition B is a convinced adherent of a school or individual. Okay, so you can be a disciple, ladies and gentlemen, of anything. You can believe the doctrine of just about anything, and there are plenty of them out there, trust me. You can be a disciple of your favorite teacher. You can be a disciple of a Greek philosopher. You can be a disciple of a media influencer. I didn't even know that was a thing, but it is. And you can be a disciple of the devil himself. You really can. I don't throw that around in your life, but I've seen it. It's a scary thing. That people believe so wholeheartedly in what they're doing, saying, preaching, teaching to others, old, young, whatever, that's just it. That's their gospel. But let me tell you something, that's not the gospel. This is the gospel. And if somebody is teaching you something other than this, then don't listen. You can be a disciple of anything. Now, when we say disciple, of course, at least my mind, my little pea brain size thing right here, it takes me straight to the 12, you know, the 12 apostles. Does it, y'all? You think about the 12 apostles. But let me tell you something. That job title, disciple, is not limited to 12 people. It was not up to them to take care of all of us. It is up to us.
Amen.
That disciple does not go back to the 12. It is for us. Those disciples have long since passed, and they have done their job and their duty. And their teachings of Jesus still apply today. But no, that job title, my friends, is for all of us. Jesus gave that command to all of us to follow me. That's what he said. Follow me. Follow him. Follow me. Well, what do I do? What do I do? You do what Jesus did. You do what Jesus did. You do what Jesus does. What he's still doing today, what the Holy Spirit is still working in us today. So what does he do? Pastor Gary, what does he do? Let me tell you one thing he does. He serves. That's your number one point, if you want to call it a point. Serve. Back to Matthew 20:20, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Remember the washing of the feet? Remember that? And he gave his life as a ransom for many, for all. Okay? He died for all of us. He died so everyone in that room, everyone that even watched him, even the ones that you think aren't going to heaven, he died for them too, because his wishes, they would all come to him. Everyone. And the Great Commission is a command to his people, not an option. Let me repeat that. It is a command to his people, it's not an option. That's what we are here to do. Now, there is an option involved. There's actually two options involved. One, if it's your serving, you can serve yourself. But, yeah, that's a popular option. Serve yourself, a self-made man. Oh, no, you're not. You can serve yourself, and it may prove to be profitable. You know, this is business, you know what I'm saying? I gotta get mine, I've heard that. It's easy to compartmentalize our Sundays. Sunday is Sundays, that's the Lord's Day, okay? With Monday through Saturday. Right? Isn't it not? It's easy to get sucked up into that. And you can tell the Lord, well, Lord, you can have Sunday all day Sunday. All day, it's yours, Lord. I tell you what I need to do. I need to give you Wednesday night. Maybe even youth group. I'll give you youth group, but that's only for a couple hours, Lord. That's it. You can have that. It's easy to go back to, well, I gotta get what's up with me. You know, Lord, I got a job to do. Yeah, you do. Remember that cross we talked about earlier? Y'all remember that? Everything coming back to the cross, you remember that? Remember that cross we talked about? It always comes back to, if we ask for mercy here, Lord, give us mercy. Then we should give it here.
Amen.
But if we demand justice here, then we better expect it from here. Whoa. That gives me a shiver up my spine. Serving yourself may bring you freedom. So it seems. Fame. For a little while. Pleasure. But only for a brief time. But let me tell you something. All those things are temporal. They don't last. Your love can be taken from you in an instant. Your life can be taken from you overnight. Your fame and fortune may lie in the hands of some social media influencer. That's just not enough. But all those things run out. Everyone. Serve him. John 12:26 says, whoever serves me must follow me. And listen to this. Wherever I am, my servants are also. See, it's back to that commission. He's with us. He's not going to ask you to do anything that he doesn't already equipped you for, or B, will be there with you when you're doing it. That means wherever we are, Jesus is too. And like he said earlier, surely I will be with you even to the end of the age. That's comforting. I've been in some dark, lonely places in my life, I can tell you that. Places were so far away, there's no way in the world he can reach me, hear me, or know anything about what I'm doing. Wrong. And I'm thankful he was there. Because if he wasn't there then, I wouldn't be here now. He walks with us every day. Some days, I think we walk too fast. I know I do. He walks with us every day, and I'll rush ahead and chase after what I need to do, what Gary needs to do, what he needs to get his plans done, and then I'll run around. Then I go running back to that cross. And I said, Lord, I messed that up. I sure did mess that up. And just like any good father says, he says, it's okay, I'll forgive you. Come back. And then the more I realize, I've run ahead and I've done my own plans and I've done my own thing, and I've seeked myself instead of serving him. That leads to the next one. Surrender. Ooh. I surrender to talk. We are taught from an early age to never give up, right? Right?
Right.
Keep on fighting, and I think that's an honorable trait. But it's important to know that what we're fighting. The Bible tells us we want to against people, not against spirits. And that's a whole other sermon. But sometimes what we fight is God's blessings. It's the things that he wants to give us most that we can't let go of what we already have. I've got this wonderful thing for you, Gary, but I need you to surrender to him. Remember the parable of the rich young man? Y'all remember that one? Yeah. So the young man comes to Jesus and he says, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus, always had a better words. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes he'd say stuff and he just don't catch it. He's like, why are you asking what's good? Jesus says, there's only one that's good. And if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. And the young man says, woo, which ones? Jesus replied, shall I murder? Shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man says, woohoo, I've kept all these things. I've done all that. And he's like, oh, there's one more. Go sell your possessions and give to the poor. And you'll have a treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And the young man went away sad. Because he had great wealth. I'm not telling you to go out and celebrate again. I'm not doing that. Now, Jesus tells you to go out and do it. Go do that. But I'm not telling you to do that. What I'm telling you is this. That young man held this, what was in his pocket, higher than he held Jesus. Well, but you see where I'm getting at here? It's a priority thing. His priorities were a little out of whack. Sometimes what we think is this great thing, like, and we're missing out on the great thing. You see, the young man was doing what was good, but he was missing one key element, and that's surrender. Don't get wrapped up in the good things that you miss the God things. See, wealth is not the problem here. All the wealth you cried out. Well, that wasn't the problem. It's the square he held it in relation to his eternal soul. Well, But see, God doesn't want just part of you. He doesn't want just your Sunday and Wednesday nights. No, he wants every aspect of your life. And I know this is the thing that gets those new Christians. This thing like, wait a minute. He can't have all of you. Why not? Because he made all of you. There are no part-time jobs in his company. You don't have to submit a resume because he knows what you already have. You don't have to tell him about your giving the list of your gifts and talents because he gave them to you. You only have to do one thing, and that's surrender. He's not going to take from you what he wants you to have. As long as what he wants you to have, you use for his glory. Do you understand? And then that surrender leads to something else. It leads to sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Now, those two songs, four songs that we did up here today, now that's an act of worship. But that is not true worship. That is not every worship instance. Let me tell you what that looks like. That is taking your everyday, you're walking around life, you're going to work in the morning, you're eating lunch with your friends, you're getting off in the evenings, going to the ball field and coaching those kids, and using that as your act of worship in every aspect of what you do, because those people are looking at you, they're learning from you, and they see what it is that you're saying and what you're doing. And if those two don't line up, then you just lost it. So those gifts and those talents that we talked about a minute ago, are you using them or are you refusing them? Because sometimes I think he gives us some stuff that we're just like, I'm not telling nobody I can do that. Heck no, because then they won't be up there saying all of a sudden, I'm not doing that. Take me, Lord, and use me. No matter what little gift you've given me, Lord, I'll use it. We used to say, just go over here and be a glorious flock for Jesus. Well, I hate that. I used to say, it was hard. But he didn't give that to you just a flop out there. He gave that to you because it's a beautiful gift from God himself. Whether we had to talk to somebody, had to go to somebody, how you treat somebody in the workplace, how you treat your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, somebody you can't even know on the street. You use those for him, and he will, one, use those in ways that you never dreamed of. He will take that measure. He will take that little bit that you offer him back, that 10% or whatever that you offer him back, and he will explode it. And he will, too, use it in ways that you never know. And that's tough for us sometimes, because we want to see the fruits of our labor going. You know what I mean? I want to see that out there come to fruition. I want to see my kids quote scripture or praying at the dinner table or something like that. But it doesn't always work like that. He'll do things through you that outsiders will see and that you never even know about. People are watching you, you're going to Christian you. But you call yourself Christian. People watching you. Watching you, how you treat others, how you react to different situations, and they'll judge for themselves if you are who you really say you are. Sometimes I am not who I say I am, and I will be honest with you. I'll blow it, and I'm good at it. But I know that cross is. You are leading someone somewhere. I have this little thing right here that I used to tell the kids this. If you affect the lives of two people in 1 year, two people, I think I told you this before, two people, that's all you have to do. changed the lives of two people in 1 year. And those two people changed the lives of two other people. Now, those of you that have math skills, if you go 10 years down the road, those two people that you touched have changed the lives of 4,096 people. Two times two, times, 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 times. Now, you take that in 20 years, can anybody guess what that number is?
About a million something.
How much?
A million something.
4,194,340. That's in 10, 20 years. All because of the two people that you reach out to, that you disciple, that you walk with, that you teach, that you encourage, you pick up, you help. Two people a year. That's it. He took 12 people and changed the world for 2,000 years. You're leading someone somewhere. You're discipling someone that you don't even know about. Where are you leading them to? What are you doing? Now, make no mistake, sometimes that sacrifice hurts. Doesn't it? Well, you don't have to look at your father on the cross to see that. So, the choir will tell you about it. Wonderful, listen. Very important. I wrote this in my notes. And here's the question. That sacrifice. I asked my friend Tony yesterday, I said, Tony, would you give up AJ? Did you give up your son? Did you give up your daughter? For a world full of people that some of them don't know, don't want to know, but mock the stitching. Still, did you do that? He said, yeah, I don't know. He said, how much do you want? I don't know either. That's sacrifice. God took his one and only son. Some of you are sitting by your kids right now. Would you sacrifice that for what he sacrificed for? He's not asking you to do that. He just wants a little bit. What's your time and your average gifts and your talents that you gave him? He gave you. Get on that. Or take it and use it. Sometimes we have to give up some of the good things in our life. Sometimes they're ripped from our hands and we have nothing. We have no way around it. We have nothing to say about it. But we're left really because we have lost what we have become so accustomed to. But let me tell you, when we put down the good and we pick up the God, whew, that's what life is. That's where life in Christ, life more abundant, life more free. Oh, life more loving. That's when it begins. When the hair stands on the dog's like it is now, you know that the Holy Spirit has given you a done what he's asked you to do. Just give up what I gave you. But we can't pick up more of him until we put down one of us.
Amen.
And that leads to the last point, and that's victory. We sing about it earlier. Last week, we celebrated Easter this day, the day of resurrection. 3 days before that, we celebrated the sacrifice. Good Friday, the day our Father in heaven gave his greatest possession, sacrificed his greatest possession, handed it down, his one and only Son, to die, suffer, and death on the cross. And you, sorry old Gary Osteen, can I live eternal? Is it too much to ask that I give him? You know, before me? I don't think so. As they sing this song, I'm going to go down here, and we have some people that come forward. If this song is that you need to lay down today, something that you need to sacrifice on. She's like, I don't even care this no more, but if you pray a question of blessings, the altar's right here open. If you don't know, if you want to know, I'll come on down. I'll introduce this one.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.